details on current and upcoming shows, and stop by the gallery on Points Avenue right next to the Wareham.
Kathy Dawes, along with Brady Bowman, Dave Lewis. We're talking, of course, about the top stories for 2017, 537-1350, if you'd like to weigh in today. Just real quickly, as we wrap up the number two of the year, and of course, we were talking about the racial graffiti incident that really it caused a lot of different things to occur, but KS Unite, a result of that, and diversity efforts are a continuing concern at Kansas State University. As late as December 21st, we had a story that Brian Samuel named K-State's new chief diversity and inclusion officer. After a national search, Samuel selected as Kansas State University's chief diversity and inclusion officer effective March of 2018. So that will be another continuing story that I'm sure K-Man will keep a close eye on. Number three for the year, when we're talking about hits on our website, Fort Riley soldier deaths. And of course, there were way too many of those. I believe 11 now, with one just last week. And in fact, we hear from Trey Salzbrenner from that one last week.
Police from Fort Riley this morning indicates Sergeant First Class Kevin Johnson was found unresponsive in his home by a friend who called 911. Johnson was pronounced dead by the first responders. Johnson was an artillery mechanic with Battery F, 1st Battalion, 5th Field Artillery Regiment, 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team. The Junction City Police Department is investigating Johnson's death. Johnson joined the Army in April 1993 and arrived at Fort Riley in September 2014. He was 46 years old. Johnson's home on record is Sumter, South Carolina. His awards and decorations are many and are listed on our website at newsradiokman.com.
And we also have a report from Brady Bowman, October 15th. We'll just play little excerpts of each of these.
A 1st Infantry Division soldier was found dead on Fort Riley Thursday. This is according to a press release from the Army Post over the weekend. Sergeant First Class Jamie Boone, a signal support system specialist, was found deceased in his on-post residence. Boone is the 8th Fort Riley soldier to die in a non-combat role since August.
And a different type of death in late November. Jennifer Edgar had that story for us.
A news release from Fort Riley Tuesday indicates 1st Lieutenant Stephanie Hetland was driving to her next duty station, Fort Bliss, Texas, on Saturday when the collision occurred on Interstate 10, about 6.5 miles west of Fort Stockton. The Texas Department of Public Safety is investigating the collision. Hetland was a chemical officer with headquarters and headquarters company, 1st Brigade Engineer Battalion, 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team, 1st Infantry Division.
And so with last week's report, 11 non-combat deaths, I actually have all their names listed, Brady. Way too many of these this year.
Way too many. And I think what was so alarming, especially during the summer, that there was just so many within a 30-60 day time span, and that's a story that didn't just pop up this year. That's something that's kind of been talked about for a while. There's the suicide rate within the military is something that's been getting a lot of attention lately, and I think that might continue into 2018 and something we'll have to look at as well.
Well, our hearts go out to the families of Sergeant First Class George Bible III, also Sergeant First Class Jamie Boone, Specialist Kashyap Bhakta, Staff Sergeant Sean DeVoy, Staff Sergeant Garrett Swift, Private John Martinez, Specialist Richard Cox, Specialist Peter Robbins, Staff Sergeant Alejandro Franquez, Specialist Xavier Harden. I think I have all of them there. It's just so sad. And I know you actually had some folks on from Fort Riley who talked to you some about the suicides and some of the things that are going on that way.
They did. They came on in focus on one of those Wednesdays, and they were suicide specialists at Fort Riley that head up some programs down there, and they had a lot of great information for us. And of course, if you can go on our website, go on demand, you can probably find that and play that really about anything we've had this year.
Exactly. We go now to number four, a couple of Pottawatomie County cases that a lot of people were interested in. Country Stampede had some aggravated battery case, June 23rd, dateline of the story that got so many hits. Two men were arrested early Friday morning in connection with a case of aggravated battery at Country Stampede. Sheriff's deputies receiving reports of a 23-year-old male who suffered a head injury during an altercation in the campground area at Tuttle Creek State Park. Victim transported by helicopter to a Topeka hospital in his condition not presently known. Benjamin Rowe, 22, of Mound City, and Chance Stevenson, 21, of Roland Park, remaining in the Pottawatomie County Jail. Had an opportunity to cover some of those cases up in Westmoreland and get the very latest updates on that. And this is what Pottawatomie County Attorney Sherry Shook has to say about the resolution of that case.
Well, the stampede was not anything out of the ordinary. In fact, we did have an aggravated battery that occurred out of that, and that case, those cases have been resolved. They've been resolved at the request of the victim as well. I mean, unfortunately, with our stampede cases, a lot of the times our victims don't live here, our suspects don't live here, our witnesses don't live here, and although everyone is quite willing to travel here to party for 3 or 4 days, when it comes to doing anything afterwards, it's a little more difficult.
And we also did a report having to do with a juvenile case that got a lot of attention on our website. Jace Ward, 18 years old from Wamego, charged originally with aggravated child endangerment, furnishing alcohol to a minor, and lewd and lascivious behavior. And we followed that case pretty closely, too. The very latest update we have on that was from December 5th, and he was sentenced in connection with that June 6th incident outside Wamego that received so much attention and involved a juvenile over the age of 14. Jace Ward, 18, receiving a six-month underlying sentence in each of the two counts he entered a plea to, which ended up being driving under the influence and furnishing alcohol to a minor. The two sentences are to run concurrently. Ward was ordered to pay fines and costs. He's on 12 months probation. He'll serve 48 hours in the Pottawatomie County Jail. This is what County Attorney Sherry Shook had to say about this particular case.
As to Mr. Ward, you know, that's an interesting case, and there is just no good resolution in regards to it. I believe that he was fortunate because he fell under a loophole in the law that I don't have the power to fix. We are working with our professional organization, and hopefully we will be able to fix that loophole. But the resolution that was obtained, I think, was very beneficial to not only Mr. Ward, but it was beneficial to the community, and it was beneficial to the victim. And in the end, the victim is the one that should be the primary goal.
Top four stories of 2017. We've made it through now. Let's go ahead and go to a break before we come back with number five. And again, Brady Bowman, Dave Lewis, Kathy Dawes with you today. 537-1350 if you'd like to weigh in on the discussion of the top stories for this past year.
K-Man Weather is powered by Colbert Hills Golf Course and Restaurant, offering 27 holes of championship-quality golf, plus one of the finest restaurants in all of the Flint Hills. Book your tee times and see the full menu at ColbertHills.com.